and the leaves that are green turn to brown.
And when they turn to brown, our next guest is, well, he's there to pick him up. He's Mike Lowe of the Portland Press Herald. Hello there, Mike.
Hey, Rich, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing better now that we're talking to you. I mean, people will say the worst part of the fall without college football has been not getting to those games. But for me, it's been not talking to you every week. We've missed you.
Well, thanks a lot. It's always fun to talk to you, too.
All right, let's get to the important stuff. The final count, Mike versus the Leaves. I said earlier, somewhere around 36 bags. Am I close?
Oh, no.
No. Oh, no.
60. Ended up with 65 bags and 2 barrels.
Whoa! Is that a record?
That's a record, yeah. And here's the good thing. Here's the good thing. We're putting a garage in the house, and we're cutting down 3 trees. So that record will never be broken.
Wow. Wow, that's some impressive work right there.
I actually forgot I was supposed to post that yesterday. I'm going to have to do that either right after we get off or tomorrow morning. Let people know what the final count was.
Oh, yes.
It was, 65 bags, and I thought I had, and I ran out of bags, and I felt crap. And so grabbed a couple of barrels.
Man, oh, man. All right, and then we have to check in on the newest member of the family. We haven't talked with you since you added Buck to the Lowe family. What a fine-looking boy he is.
He's a good boy. He a rescue pup from Georgia, and I'm not sure what type of life he led, but, you know, he's timid at times, but he's very lovable. I can't sit in a chair without him jumping into my lap, and he fits in it well, you know, unlike Mookie, who's just too big to fit in my lap. Mike fits well. You saw the photo I posted.
I did, and Mookie, a little jealous, perhaps, that Buck is up there in your lap, but man, Mookie would take that whole chair by himself.
He would, and he is a little jealous, and it's funny because then when I pet Mookie, Buck immediately reminds me that I'm your dog, not him. So they actually, the first time they met was not a good meeting, but they really get along well now. They like to play. They like the roughhouse. And they're really good with each other. And we're finally at the point where we might we keep them separated when they're in the house together, because when they start playing, they get a little rough. So we're at the point where we might let them have some free time here in the house and
nice.
See what happens.
Well, that's awesome. Well, yeah, glad to see that. But whatever life Buck had before, he's living the good life right now.
Well, he certainly, he likes being here. I can say that. I can tell you at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's jumping up into the bed to spend the rest of the night with us.
I've got a rescue dog. Nothing better than a rescue dog.
Nothing. Nope, nothing. And Mookie's a rescue dog, too. So, I think maybe they share that. And maybe they understand each other. So.
I think so. Awesome. Well, let's talk about, first of all, a terrific piece you had in yesterday's Maine Sunday Telegram about the athletes at the University of Maine and their adjustment to the protocols. And it seems like for most of them, wearing a mask is just how you do things now.
It is. You know, every one of them said there was an adjustment, at first when they put it on. And it was longer for hockey players. The hockey players said it took about a month to get used to breathing through the mask. The other athletes, it was maybe 2 weeks at max. It was just, obviously anytime something like that happens, something new happens, it takes time to figure it out. And the biggest thing is figuring out what type of mask you want to wear. And a lot of them talked about starting out with cloth masks. But what they found with the cloth mask is that when they get wet, they get heavier, they get more uncomfortable, and they couldn't replace them. But with the disposable mask that the university provides, they get wet, they get torn, because, in every sport you're playing, you're bumping each other, and sometimes it gets torn. You just walk over to the sideline, take it off, put another one on, and you're all set. They really feel that they understand why they have to wear them, and I think that's the most important aspect of it all, is you have to really understand why you're doing it. It's about safety. It's about your safety. It's about your teammate's safety. It's about your roommate's safety. It's about your parents' safety. It's about your friend's safety. And I think these kids all get that point, and they want to play, and they're going to do whatever they have to play.
No question about that. And some interesting news today out of the Maine CDC, and Dr. Shaw saying that they have still seen very few, if any, cases of transmission of the virus within schools. Now, he's talking about public schools, but I think the same thing applies to colleges and universities, that in classroom settings and normal day-to-day existence, because people are mandated to wear those masks, you're not seeing much transmission.
And it just proves that it works. That's all I can say, Rich. There are people who don't want to do it because they don't believe it works, and this just proves that, yes, if you socially distance and if you wear a mask, is a good chance that you're going to protect yourself and others from the virus. And I just wish more people would understand that.
That would be a nice thing. Yeah, we're talking with Mike Lowe from the Portland Press Herald. So a Maine hockey team scheduled to open up this weekend. The news coming over the weekend that the University of Vermont is delaying the start of their winter sports until December 18th. What do you think this means, if anything, for the Black Bears?
Well, we reached out to the UMaine system today, and they told us there'd be an announcement coming soon. What that means is, I don't know. You would have thought that they would have made it by now, but we've been in that situation before. I don't know. With the cases spiking in Maine, I would not be surprised to see a delay to the start of the season. I'm not sure. It's worth the risk of having a team come into play. Obviously, you're not going to have fans at the game. I think that's a given.
Right.
It's a very critical time right now in terms of which way the virus is going to go. And do you want to possibly expose more people to someone from the outside, or do you want to try and contain it and then maybe push this down the road a little bit? I don't know. I'm not optimistic about it. I think there's going to be a delay to the start of the season, but I do think they'll play. I do think they'll play eventually. I'm not sure how long the schedule will be, but I'm hopeful anyway that we're going to have college sports and high school sports in the state of Maine, and we've got some minor league teams down here that are waiting to see. The hockey team here in Portland, the Red Claws, the Maine Mariners. They're waiting to see what happens. So. There's a lot up in the air right now, Rich.
Yeah, no question about that. A football team was able to wrap up their fall practice session, and by all account, things went well from talking with Nick and everybody involved. But one thing that will eventually be the bane of all FCS coaches is this transfer protocol, and I was surprised to see the news that Kenny Doak has entered the protocol.
Yeah, I was too. I spoke to Kenny about it, and he said Jesse felt that he wants to kick at the NFL level, and the feeling I got was that if he's going to do that, then he's got to go to an FBS program and be seen in that light. To me, a kicker's a kicker. If you can kick a 55-yarder at this level, you can kick a 55-yarder at the next level. But yeah, I was surprised. I think it caught everybody by surprise. But Nick wishes him well. And now the begs the question: who did they have to kick? They've got four kickers listed on the roster, and I'm not sure any of them have actually kicked in a game. Kenny's been doing it, especially the last 2 years. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. He was pretty clutch for them in 2018. Without those two kicks at the end of the games against Villanova and Rhode Island. Maine's not going to be the CAA champ and not go on to the national semifinals.
Also interesting to look at the makeup of this roster right now. If they're able to play a spring season, this could be a surprisingly good Black Bear team. Some of the new guys that they brought in and some of those transfers look awfully good, including in areas where we weren't sure what they might have, like at running back.
And this is a team... again, we've talked about this in the past. They've got to have a good running game. I know they have a dynamic passing attack with some really good receivers and a really, really good young quarterback. But if you're not able to run the ball, you're not going to be able to throw the ball effectively. They've got to have a veteran offensive line. It's too bad that the fall season was postponed because I think they would have had a really good shot at being, a really good team this fall. And again, like you, I think they can be very good in the spring. And again, let's hope that that we can play football in the spring. I'm looking forward to it. I need to get my fix of going up to Orono.
Now, you mentioned high school sports, and they're kind of on hold right now, but you do think there will be a high school season, Mike?
I do. We're not going to see, the state has already set the date. You're not going to see games before January. I think it's the 11th at the earliest. I think it's going to be similar to the fall, Rich. I think it's going to be a short schedule. I think it's going to be a regional schedule where you're going to be playing, your local teams. You're going to have a team from Class C playing a team from Class A. And I'm not sure you're going to have playoffs. I think this is going to be a year without champions for high school sports. I really do. And that's unfortunate because that's a big part of the high school experience, playing for a state championship. But there are not going to be any fans at games. The state has already said that. And is it going to be worth the MPA to rent out big halls to play games for championships? There's a financial aspect to it. They make so much money off the tournament. This is going to be a big hit for the MPA this year without a tournament. But I can't see them having one. I can't see them bringing a team from the county down to Augusta to play a team from York County. I can't see them having Bangor come down to Portland to play a team from Portland. It's just
right.
Not the way the state guidelines are set right now, where you're just playing teams in your regional, in your geographical area.
I do think, though, just from talking to the athletes at Brewer that I had in class and talked with along the way this fall, they just seem very happy just to have the opportunity to play. And yeah, championships, playoffs would have been nice, but they were happy just to have the games.
And I agree. And I talked to a lot of athletes about, so what are you using for motivation this year? Because what are you motivated for on a regular basis? It's to make the playoffs, to be the best you can, best team you can, make the playoffs, play for a championship. Well, this year it was just to be a good teammate, just to have fun, just to play the sport that we love. I mean, because, it was taken away from them all summer and for the early part of the fall. And down here in New York County, I mean, they didn't stop playing until mid-October.
Right.
They lost the first 4 weeks of the fall season because the county was designated as yellow. So it meant a lot more to the kids down here, I got to tell you. When they got on the field finally, I covered some of the games, and they treated each game like it was a championship game. They really did. It was fun to watch some of the kids play. And really, that's in the end, that's what you're going to remember about this year. It's been a lousy year for a lot of reasons, but if you have those bonds with your teammates and you were able to maintain them, you're going to remember that this year. You're not going to remember that, we didn't play for a state championship. You've got to remember, remember that game when we finally got on the field, how good it felt? And I think that's the most important thing that I hope they take from this year.
It seems to be the case. And we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope they can do something this winter.
And really, and there was a lot of complaining from the football community when they were told you're playing seven-man football. But I got to tell you, the kids who played seven-man football really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun for them. And again, that was the key thing, to have them engaged, to have them have some semblance of normalcy. Yeah, it wasn't football, but it was a team activity. You were together. You were having fun. And I applaud everybody who played this year because it was not easy. It was not easy to pull off what they did this year, and I was just glad to see.
Yeah, no question about that. Mike, always good to talk with you. It's been far too long. Thanks for catching up with us today. Hope you and everybody in the Lowe family has a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll try and catch up with you maybe sometime next month and hone in on what's ahead.
Anytime, Rich. Thanks a lot.
All right, appreciate it, Mike. Thanks a lot. Mike Lowe of the Press Herald with us here on Downtown.